Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. You may be seated. We want to talk from the subject, directions for your journey. Directions for your journey. I was blessed to have been born into a family which, although earlier on we were poor, I should say extremely poor financially. But we had the mercy of God. As time went on, we were able to travel by train. The train, I was talking to Deacon Henry a few weeks ago, the train was the Silver Comet. And it went from Birmingham up to Penn Station in New York, where we rode the train, and then at Penn Station we would have to disembark and travel over to Grand Central Station and take a train to Holyoke, Massachusetts. My uncle lived at 111 Main Street, which is just down from where the train station. So literally we could walk from the train station down this overhead, I don't even know what to call it, but it was a walkway, going down from the upper level of Holyoke down to Main Street. We were able to do that on a few occasions. We were able to journey up north. We even once, when I was young, was able to go with Grandma to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, by train. And later, as a teenager, being able to travel across country by car to Seattle, Washington, on our way to Anchorage, Alaska. When Dad's tour of duty was in Alaska was over, he was stationed at Westover Air Force Base, and although he was later sent to Castle Air Force Base in Merced, California, I remained here. While traveling to Alaska, I learned to read. Y'all remember those old big Rand McNally map books? And as a result, I developed a pretty good sense of direction. It used to be, if you took me someplace once, I could always find my way back. That's a little shaky now. Recently, when I went to our local AAA office, they intimated that when after I told them where I was going, they said I knew my way to the destination better than they did. But out of habit, Reverend Dixon, I took the latest maps anyway, no triptych, no turn-by-turn directions, but just the maps. On our trip, I brought along my portable Garmin GPS system to find the new house where Aunt Madge is living in Pamplico, South Carolina. But other than that, it stayed in the bag because I have learned to trust God for directions and deliverance to where my journey requires me to go. Like the children of Israel during their 40 years in the wilderness, we must come to the realization that life is a journey of everlasting learning. A Scottish clergyman wrote, "Life is a journey, not a home, a road, not a city of habitation. And the enjoyments and blessings we have are but little ends on the roadside of life, where we may be refreshed for a moment, that we may with new strength press on to the end, to the rest that remaineth for the people of God." And throughout our lives, from birth to death, from the crib to the casket, we are all called upon to trust. Early in life, we have no choice but to trust those who have charge over us to provide for us what we need to survive and to protect us from those things and individuals who may seek to harm us. Are you praying with me? As we become teenagers and young adults, we are supposed to learn enough through our own experiences and the experiences of others whom and what we can trust in order to be successful in life and avoid the pitfalls which are waiting to destroy us with their cruelty and their surprise. I'm going somewhere now. As adults, having learned our trust lessons, society then starts to instruct us on whom and what we should trust in order to be successful financially, socially, and emotionally. Most times we are simply told to trust in banks and financial institutions, trust in careers and jobs, trust in doctors and medicine, trust in education, trust in family and friends, trust in government and programs, trust in our own intuition, trust in politicians and the stock market. And in case we were not paying attention earlier in our developmental life, there are always ongoing courses, seminars, conferences, lectures, books, apps, videos, infomercials, correspondence courses, and street advice, which if we will listen and do as we are instructed, will put us on the road to social and financial security and happiness. Success is guaranteed. Yet, I've come to learn the Bible makes the same claim, but without the courses, without the seminars, without the conferences and the lectures and the books and the apps and the videos and the infomercials and the correspondence courses and the street advice, and with a greater guarantee of success, as testified by innumerable witnesses over, no, millenniums of backup data to prove that what the Bible says is true. Our scriptural text tells us first we are to one word, trust. Trust, simply put, is to give our, quote, assured reliance on the character, ability, strength, and truth of someone or something, end quote. Trust. Trust is what you did when you came in here. You didn't ask if the bench could hold you. You walked in here. You didn't check to see if there was a hole under the rug, but you walked down the aisle, and when you got to your seat, nobody tested to see if it would hold them. We just plopped down. Why? Because we trust that it would hold our weight and keep us from harm. Trust. Without asking questions, trust. And then in our scriptural text, second, we are told in whom to trust. It said, in the Lord. And then it stopped. Not your BFF, for those of you that, not your best friend forever, but the Lord. Not even your BFFRN, which is your best friend forever right now. But the Lord. This trust means to completely rely on God alone for all of our advice, our substance, and our guidance. Well, how does one build trust with someone? By spending time with them and getting to know their habits, their ways, their heart, and their mind. How does one get to know God? The same way. By spending time with him and getting to know him and trusting in his word. And then third, because I want to rush on. I know I haven't seen y'all in 3 weeks, so I ain't going to preach 3 weeks worth. Third, we are told how. Well, maybe I will if y'all don't say amen. Third, we are told how to trust with all thine heart. God created you. He knows your total sum, and he wants a full-time relationship with all of you, not the little bit that's right now outside planning on what you're going to do later on, not the one that's home with your DVD, not the one that got plans for later on. God wants you to hear right now what is being said. He wants to minister to your soul. God wants all of you. He doesn't want a shadow of you. He doesn't need a shadow of you. He needs you to be you that he created you to be. Do I have a witness? Turn to somebody and say, God wants you.
God wants you.
He loves you.
He loves you.
He has mercy on you. Fourth, we are warned how not to trust. It says, and lean not unto thine own understanding. You ever met somebody that thought they were smarter than smart? Wiser than wisdom, infallible and cannot make a mistake. And the sun could be shining outside and they'll argue that no, it's not. Only to say, well, in Japan, it's dark right now. Y'all know somebody like that? I hope y'all not talking about me. And lean not to thine own understanding. No matter how smart you think you are or how smart you think someone else is, God is the father of wisdom. How do you beat that? God is the supreme giver of knowledge. Can't top that. God is the creator and sustainer of every good thing you can and cannot see and know. It was God who was here before in the beginning. And will be here after. Amen. The Bible says, trust him and lean not unto your own flawed, short-sighted, ill-advised, infinitely limited, and error-plagued understanding. I'm going to say that again. Trust him and lean not unto your own flawed, short-sighted, I know I'm not talking about any of y'all, ill-advised, infinitely limited, and error-plagued understanding. Trust God and God alone. Somebody going to hear this today and go ask somebody for their opinion about something. What do you think about this? Who cares what they think? The question is, what do you know about this? And even before the what you know, who do you know? And then fifth, I'm moving right along. The parameters of our trust are set in all thy ways. And then it stops. That means everything Every dealing, every speech, every action, every habit, every thought, every mind, every heart. Remember, you will be held accountable not only for what you do, but also what you think. You will be held accountable not only for what you do, but what you do not do. What do you mean, preacher? When it is in your power to do good, and not to do good is to what? To do evil. So you will be held accountable. Understand that in all your ways, not just your Sunday come to church ways. Huh? Some of us can make it all through Sunday because we leave out of here and we can make it all the way through. We ain't got no problem until tomorrow morning when the clock rings. Amen? And we're going to have problems with the people on the road. I didn't mention the people in the house, but we're going to have problems with the people on the road. They got in my way. We're going to have problems with the weather. We're going to have problems when we get to work. Somebody was in the place I like to park. I don't know who made that coffee. It don't taste like no coffee. Good morning. What's so good about it? Boot camp, trying to help somebody. In all thy ways, all your thoughts, the thoughts of your heart. You see, God knows your heart. Here's the thing. People can put on a show and fool us. And we were down south, and where we were, if there had been no restaurants, they had a Hooters down there that I wasn't hooting in there no kind of way. I'll starve before I go into Hooters. Because you know what? It's not about who works in Hooters and what they may have on. What it is about is that I know somewhere across the street they will be shooting a commercial. Not focused on me. But the minute I come out of Hooters, in the background, somebody's going to see that somewhere, and they're going to start sending y'all Facebook messages and emails saying, was that your pastor we saw coming out of Hooters when he was on vacation? I want to serve this on you. I'm not ever on vacation from Christ, nor am I on vacation from being pastor. I don't have no time off. No time out. Amen? I told you, same resort. Our room was late 2 years ago. And I went back in there for the third time. And they said, your room is still not quite. We got there early. Rooms aren't ready at 4 o'clock. We were there like 1:30. So we didn't come back 3 times. And I said, okay. And the little man behind there said, I think you're my pastor. I'm looking at him. I've never seen him before in my life. And he said, Solid Rock in Springfield? Uh-oh. Don't you know I'm so glad I wasn't one of them people to act up? Well, why ain't my room ready? I came all the way from Massachusetts. See, he would have had that to tell. Of course, we did call back, and nobody seems to remember him, but he knew nobody remembers him. His name was McKnight. I don't remember his first name, but he said he was a member here. We don't look through the membership rolls. Huh? Haven't found him yet. But he knew who I was. And from that moment on, when we checked in, we had favor all week. One day there was a towel was missing in the bathroom. We only wanted one. The lady came up with an armful of towels bringing them in. He arranged. He was our cover. Huh? God took care of our arrangements and our happiness at the resort by bringing someone in. I don't know who it is. Could have been an angel. But he had my case. So in all thy ways, you don't get no time off. You don't get no tell somebody my mind time. But keep your mind in check. This is real. This is real, and it should be this way all the time. There is no outside life. There is no club life. There is no playing lottery life. There is no casino life. There is only either you are in the kingdom or you are not. Either you are serving God or you are not. All the time, everywhere, with no exceptions. Got some folk, their children, they see them here, they don't recognize them. Because they ain't the way they are at home. They're so nice and humble here. Oh, Pastor, so good to see you. I'm glad you're back. And the kid going, who in the world? Because that ain't who I'm going to deal with in 3 hours. Better sit down before I knock you down. I'm going to move. Trying to have boot camp. Boot camp. Number 6. Do what? Acknowledge him. Acknowledge means obey. Don't mean, hey, God. Means obey him. They say that imitation is the highest form of flattery. Let me suggest to you that obedience to the will and the word of God are the highest form of acknowledgement we can give him. Obedience is all he wants. It's all he wants from this. In this, we must also give thanks for every good and perfect gift. Give thanks for everything we were allowed not to do, which would have led us to our destruction. We always thank God for what he did. We ought to thank him for what he kept us from doing. And give thanks for salvation and for God's undeserved love that he has shown toward us. Call mercy, Jesus. And then 7th, the reward for trusting God, and he shall direct thy path. Not he can, not he may, not perhaps he will, but he shall. That is a rock, solid rock, ironclad guarantee. I saw the rock, solid rock. Ironclad guarantee. And just in case you don't believe me or the writer, I feel a need to hear from some witnesses who learn to testify, who learn to trust in God. Can we hear some testimony? We didn't have a testimony service this day, but there's a man named, who can I call on? I hear somebody say their name is what? Abraham. Abraham said, God changed my path. He changed my location. He changed my nature and made me, who was once a liar and a pagan worshiper, into the father of the faithful. And he called me his friend. You see, I was an old man, long past childbearing age. And I had no children, and I asked him one day, who shall be my descendant? Will it be my slave, Eleazar? And God promised me a son, but yet, God, I'm 90-some-odd years. God promised me a son, and Isaac was born. And through Isaac, I became the father of the nation of Israel, all because God loved me, and he promised and kept his promise. I hear a man say, move, my name's Moses. I was a king's kid. Then I became a murderer and eventually a fugitive from justice. I had to leave Egypt, and I went into a foreign land. But while in there taking care of my father-in-law's sheep, I walked by one day, and I happened to see a sight I'd never seen before. There was a bush being on fire, but smoke was coming, but it was not being consumed. So I said, let me draw near and take care of this, or take in this sight. And as I draw near, I heard somebody said, Moses, Moses, take off your shoes, for the ground you standing on is holy ground. I didn't see nobody, but I had enough sense to take off my shoes. And the voice told me who he was. I am the God of your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he told me that he was going to change my direction and send me back into Egypt with power and authority. And don't you know, he made me the deliverer of his people Israel, who had been in Egyptian slavery for over 400 years of bondage. He sent me back. I tried to get out of it. I said, Lord, I stutter. I don't talk good. And he said, I'm going to send your brother Aaron to meet you. And lo and behold, here comes Aaron. Aaron had a good speaking voice. He had great diction and enunciation. And I went with, and we went, and God delivered the children of Israel. But I made a mistake and didn't obey God, and God did not allow me to go into the promised land. But that's all right, for I am in good. He had mercy on me. David, you got anything to say? David said he chose me to be king of Israel. He loved me in spite of my lustful shortcomings and my murderous heart. The destruction and pain my behavior caused my family agony, and it was never removed. Sons died. All kinds of things happen. Sons kill sons. But I submitted unto his authority. And in spite of me, he loved me and brought me through dangers, seen and unseen. My son tried to kill me and take the kingdom. My son slept with my concubines in public. My son Absalom. And yet God forgave me. Daniel said, even though I spent my entire adult life in slavery, I also spent it in favor. There was never a moment when I did not trust and acknowledge God. And God protected me and guided me in all situations through several kings. And the Bible doesn't say one bad word about me. Paul jumps up and said, he saved me. He changed my name. I used to be Saul of Tarsus, and now I am Paul the evangelist, the preacher. He changed my occupation. I wasn't looking for God. I wasn't looking to be changed. I was on my way down to Damascus. I had a writ of habeas corpus, and I was going down to bring some Christians back to me. And all of a sudden at noontime, a light hit me, and somebody said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Why do you kick against the pricks? And I said, who are you, Lord? He says, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. What would you have me do, Lord? And he said, go to a street called Straight and wait, and I'll send a man. I'll send a man who will tell you what to do. Paul says, I went, I saw Ananias, I became convicted, and I went out and started doing the work of the Lord. And he said, and it has not been smooth. For his sake, three times I was beaten with rods. For his sake, once I was stoned to death. For his sake, three times I suffered shipwreck and a night and a day in the deep. But God protected me. I was in a Philippian jail on midnight. And me and Silas sang and prayed so hard that the other prisoners heard us. The Holy Ghost gave a testimony to our sincerity, and the place had an earthquake and all the doors opened. And nobody left. Because God protected me. And now the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Now and henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And not only for me only, talking to us. I have one last witness. Curtis shared. Around this time, 24 years ago, I listened to God as he instructed me to start a new ministry in Springfield. I want you to know I trusted him in the creation and sustaining of this church. I promised the Lord that during my journey, I would teach from one book. I would believe one book. I would trust in one book. I would live by one book. And that book would be his book, the Bible. I promised the Lord that I would teach sin is an outward evidence of our inward rejection of the authority of Almighty God. I promised that I would preach that trials are the warm-up acts which perform before victory comes on the stage of our life. I will preach that the devil wants to show the world what he can do to us, but God wants to show the world what he can do with us. That knowledge without wisdom is dangerous. You see, knowledge is knowing something, but wisdom is knowing what to do with it. I came to tell you this morning that when your desire to follow God, when your desire to follow God's will for your life becomes greater than your fear to follow him, when your faith becomes greater than your excuses, then he will truly complete and direct thy path. Then I assure you, you will become a God-loving, God-fearing, God-serving, blood-bought, word-taught, righteous-living, tithe-giving, sick-visiting, word-witnessing, power-praying, Bible-studying, saint-loving, Christ-centered, kingdom-focused soul you were created to be. During my journey, I told him I would tell about a conversation in eternity past. Whereas the old preachers used to say, the son said, if you will make me a baby's body, I will go down through 42 generations and redeem sinful man. The Bible says that he stepped off one day in a stable in a place called Bethlehem. He was born in a stable, but he didn't stay there. Do I have a witness? I need somebody to say yeah. He was born in a lowly place that I may be exalted. He was born, but he didn't stay dead. I know I changed. He had a life of sinlessness. Do I have a witness? The Bible says to heal the sick. He raised the dead. He went all around preaching the Lord. Do I have a witness? But one day, when his mission on earth was through, the Bible says that he died on an old rugged cross. He died until the sun refused to shine. He died until every drop of water on earth wanted to run up to Calvary. He died, but he didn't stay there. They buried him in a borrowed tomb. He was only going to use it for 3 days and 3 nights. Early, 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 one Sunday morning, he got up from the grave with all power in his hand. He ascended up to heaven, where he makes intercessions for the saints. Do I have a witness? The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Yeah. I'm on my journey. I don't know how much time I have left, but as long as he allows me, I'm going to tell the good old story. I'm going to live a life of righteousness. I'm going to treat everybody right. I'm going to give. I'm going to live. I'm going to sing. I'm going to pray. I'm going to give him my all in all. I'm going to trust God in everything, at all times, with all of me. Do I have a witness? Yeah. Can I tell you a story? There was a flight to an y'all sat down to an unknown destination. The story is told of a flight to an unknown destination. In the first class section is a woman, a frequent flyer, seated next to a pre-teenage boy who is engrossed with playing a game on a handheld device. She settles in for a pretty sizable flight. She sits back in her chair and tries to rest during the trip. But suddenly the plane hits air turbulence. And I don't know if you've experienced that, but the plane jump up and down and start doing some weaving on its own. Weaves up and down, and although her seatbelt is fastened, she becomes nervous on the plane, and as it jerked and even more violently, she became upset. As she's pondering what her future may be, she notices the boy is unperturbed and continues to play with his device. As the plane shook more violently and the nonchalance of the boy became more and more annoying to her, until she said, "Put down that toy. Why aren't you afraid?" He calmly answered, "Because my father is the pilot. He is in charge, and he knows that I'm on this journey and that he will let nothing happen to me. I came to tell you that if you see a smile on my face, no matter what I'm going through, no matter how shaky the circumstances are, you see, I've learned that my father is the pilot and that he is in charge and that he knows that I'm on this journey and that he has promised I will never leave you nor forsake you. I came to encourage you that when your ground shake, don't worry about the shaking. Just know that God is able and God is willing and God can and will deliver you from whatever you're going through. Tell somebody God will deliver me. No matter what it looks like, God will deliver me. Tell them God will see me through. No matter what it looks like, no matter what it sounds like, no matter what it feels like, no matter what anybody say, I know that I know that I know that I know that God will. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Has he done it for you? Say yeah. He did it for me. He does it for me. He will do it again for me. The songwriter said, like a ship that's tossed and driven, battered by an angry sea, when the storms of life and the fury makes this race so hard to run, then I say to my soul, take courage, the Lord every believer better sing that right now and sing the Lord. When beneath the cross I bow, He will take away each. Let Him have. When the Lord. That the way there's a sweet in knowing that the Lord, sing that again. Don't you know the Lord? Windy, I found that He will take each sorrow. Better let Him have. When the Lord bear down, I want to say that there's a sweet, don't you know, the Lord is able, no weapon formed against me, I will never leave you nor forsake you. There's a sweet relief, the sweet relief in knowing that the Lord, how? Somehow means that I don't have to know how. I don't have to see the plan. All I have to do is know the man. And the man said he will make a way somehow. He's healed me, brought me back from a heart attack, gave me remission from a stroke, been in accidents, had high blood pressure, but I'm still standing. I'm still here because the Lord will make a way.